Hi, I'm Jason Schwimmer, and this is a podcast about my journey to meet seven male strangers who all have one thing in common with me. We all played the voice of DW, the little sister character on the popular kids show, Arthur.
Right there. Mwah! DW!
That's me, in an episode called Arthur Changes Gears. An episode where Arthur saves up all of his allowance to buy the bike of his dreams and learns to enjoy it rather than just keep it in perfect condition. The episode aired in May 2006. Last week, I spoke with Jessica Cardos, the voice of Sue Ellen on Arthur. I also spoke with Christian DiStefano, the seventh person who played the voice of DW on Arthur. When I started this podcast, it was just going to be about my journey to find and interview the seven other actors who also played DW. But as I've gone deeper into this journey, I've connected with more people who worked on Arthur and have realized how much more there is to explore than my own personal journey of self-discovery.
Yeah, we're all constantly chasing something. And that's kind of the crux of imposter syndrome. When for me, it takes time to sort of feel acclimated to a certain identity. And then once you do reach that holy grail of feeling like you belong, you're chasing the next thing, right? Like, I started to feel sort of set as a journalist. And so I strove, is that the past tense? All I do in podcast is ask the interviewer to like copy edit my grammar. Oh, I'm so sorry. This is below your pay grade.
That's Marissa Miller, an author, reporter, and journalist. She covers everything from social and gender issues to politics and fashion. Plus, she's been recognized on the street for appearing on an episode of Keeping Up with the Kardashians when she interviewed Kylie Jenner at her 18th birthday party. Marissa graduated a year ahead of me in high school, and to me, she's always been a larger-than-life and intimidatingly cool person.
But I think the question was not so much that, hey, you played a girl, but more like, oh, wow, you're kind of famous. Like, kind of a famous thing to do. Like, I get starstruck really easily, so maybe that's just me. But like, when I found out you were DW, I was like, I'm going to get his autograph. I'm going to frame it. I'm going to put it on eBay. It's not going to be the buy now. It's going to be the bid now button because I'm going to get a lot of money from it. I don't know. I just think it's so cool because as someone who suffers from imposter syndrome, as you know, I require a lot of external validation to kind of solidify my sense of self and sense of self-worth. And so anytime I see someone who has been approved by a higher institution, AKA Hollywood or TV version of Hollywood, that to me says, wow, you did something impressive enough for this sort of like elite, really exclusive community.
I really resonated with her book, Pretty Weird, Overcoming Imposter Syndrome and Other Oddly Empowering Lessons. I wanted to talk to her about how I felt weird standing out at our high school and to share what being teased for having a high-pitched voice was like. And I figured that you would kind of understand the idea of me feeling weird and still coming to terms with who I am and who I should be as an adult.
Yeah, absolutely. I think there's so much fear of the unknown. And so when someone, especially a kid, sees you pursuing this thing that's so outside of the norm, aka after school play practice, or, you know, these typical like football team things, it's threatening because here you have the 6-year-old or 7-year-old kid who somehow developed the confidence to go outside the norm. And it's like, well, how did you develop that life skill? How did you learn how to do something so advanced? You know, there's so many of us who are even in early to mid adulthood afraid to take that leap. So here you are doing something inspiring that really threatened the very nature of these kids. And the very nature of these kids is conform, conform, conform.
When I was reading her book, I was really surprised to learn that she felt like a freak or an outcast at her high school too. She talked about looking different than other kids, listening to punk music, and generally just feeling like she didn't fit into what was typical of the culture in our community. I told her about how I always felt, you know, like an outsider, and
I always got the vibe from you that you were somehow like very freaky and disturbed on the inside, but you somehow like kept up with appearances. Is that weird? Are you disturbed?
I asked her why she had that impression of me in high school.
You know what? I have that impression. Okay, here's the thing. I manifest it. I see someone and I'm like, be freaky, because that is basically the only way in which I will be able to relate to you. I manifest it into the universe. And it's also a huge compliment because it shows like a vulnerability. Freaky can be something as subtle as reaching out for help and being vulnerable. You know, like just the mere act of you being like, hey, you know, I have some questions about this thing. I don't really know a whole lot and would love your feedback. That takes a lot of strength. That takes a lot of strength that we are kind of collectively told to repress in some way because it shows a weakness. And so I always appreciate that kind of stuff. And when there's smoke, there's fire. When I see vulnerability, I know there's freakiness.
So in a way, the attention I received that I sometimes perceived as negative attention made me go on the defensive. I tried my best not to stand out, even though I knew that attention is part and parcel with being a creative person or performer, which I so desperately wanted to be. And when I thought I did a good job at blending in, it's strangely comforting to know that people like Marissa saw me for who I was, a freak. I asked her about her relationship to the show Arthur and to DW.
Yeah, so I remember watching it every day after school, and it was very much my refuge and my respite. Both because it allowed me to feel like I could identify with, of course, like these really like tough female characters, and also because it was kind of like a normal show. And at that age, like I was always kind of finding pockets in everyday life to feel normal, whether that was watching DW or listening to Spice Girls. And it became sort of like the language that we all spoke. Like I mentioned in that Toronto Star article, that it helped me kind of develop and hone my love of books. Libraries were being deemed as cool, which was, you know, a thing that you didn't see very often. And so I was like, wait, maybe there is space for me to exist among these normal folks. Maybe you can be weird and a nerd and into literature and kind of bossy, but also be worth something and also be valued and valuable.
So what was it about DW in particular, since this podcast is centered around that character, that stood out to you?
Really the whole mood that she kind of created, and like her dynamic along with Arthur was so interesting. And also what I really loved was just like seeing guys and girls coexist in that sort of way. Things were so gender segregated growing up, and that also kind of like raises some issues about what it means to be a woman and what it means to be a man or a boy or a girl. Are we existing in this vacuum, or can we sort of like coexist?
I've seen a lot of negative feedback to the fact that DW, who is sometimes seen as a feminist icon or an important role model to girls and women, has been played exclusively by male voice actors.
Well, I was reading something that said the casting director wanted to find a voice that was kind of like scratchy and raspy. But like, does she know that women can also have those types of voices? Exhibit A. Like my voice gets higher as I age, I think. But growing up, I sounded like a bulldog. Like I had this deep, like angry old man voice. And so yeah, that was a missed opportunity.
When I first saw comments online from people who were upset, I was very quick to form my response. I figured there must be a simple reason for why DW has always been voiced by guys. That there was just something about the first person, Michael Callows' voice, that they liked, and for some reason, Guy's voices matched his performance best when he aged out of the role. But even just that knee-jerk reaction has made me want to explore it, like the gender identity of DW a little bit more.
Yeah, no, I mean, I would be concerned that it'd be taking away jobs from women.
Yeah.
But if you consider all the women who are being cast as, you know, to voice act male characters. I mean, it's kind of interesting the fluidity with which gender is working in this case. I don't mind it at all. I mean, it's sort of like eroding this line. And I think it's cool that DW was, I don't know if you were a pioneer in that space, but I think it's cool to see that line being eroded in other ways. I mean, I wouldn't mind seeing that. It seems like something that was kind of hush hush and shoved under the rug back then, because things like that weren't being explored. And when I say things like that, I mean sort of a crossover between gender and presentation. But now, like, I work in the fashion space, I write about fashion a lot, and anything that is deemed gender inclusive, my ears perk up and that of my readers perk up.
I know that when I was doing the voice of DW, I didn't really think of it as doing the voice of a girl, even though I knew I was. But it is interesting to think about whether or not that played a role in the development of my personal relationship with gender.
Because, like, what is gender besides a presentation, right?
As I've gone further along in this podcast and met some of the guys who played DW more recently, I've been struck by how much more normalized the idea of a male child playing the voice of a female character is to kids today.
And that is something that's being widely accepted now. And so I think that if you were to have done the show today, you know, if you had fast forwarded 20 years, I think maybe you wouldn't have felt the sort of dysphoria or, you know, kind of dysmorphia and kind of feeling of unease surrounding it.
Yeah, she's probably right. This seems like a good spot to take a break. Here's a word from our sponsors. Finding DW is independently produced by me, Jason Schwimmer. If you want to support the show, the best way you can do that is by checking out my Patreon. Supporters like you help me spend more time doing what I love, creating this podcast for you to enjoy. Plus, when you support this podcast, you'll gain access to exclusive bonus podcast episodes that feature full-length interviews with each person who appears on my show. Head to patreon.com/findingdw. That's FINDINGDW. No punctuation. There's also a link in the episode notes. Thank you very much. And now, back to the show. I spoke to my friend Alex Cabrera Aragon, who I met
dressed up as DW at a Halloween party in university.
She's a writer and performer who grew up loving TV.
I watched TV all the friggin' time as a kid. So I wasn't allowed to. I certainly snuck it, and don't tell my mom, but I was always watching TV.
I know for a fact she loves DW.
I always say, and this isn't just because I'm on your podcast, that Lizzie McGuire and DW were my two biggest influences as a kid. One was a blonde white lady, and the other was an aardvark. So,
I told Alex about how I've been feeling guilty because of how upset people seem to be that I and my male peers have played the voice of DW instead of girls.
I find it interesting that people are bothered by this at all. No is the answer. I don't feel bothered by it whatsoever. It's make-believe, it's not real. It's not it's not even these little boys were writing her. To be mad about who voiced this character that these people wrote, I find that very strange, because it doesn't take anything away from who she is or what she represented for little girls. I think it just was purely a casting decision, maybe a money decision, but to say that is to be angry at the whole system. You know, you can't just say, hey, I'm mad that DW was voiced by a little boy. You'd have to be sure, get mad at the whole system. Let's burn the world down. But to be mad about the fact that just eight boys voiced this one little girl is the silliest thing to be mad about. She still had a huge impact on people, and I'm still grateful for her. And a lot of people are.
I asked her about why Lizzie McGuire and DW were so important to her as a kid.
I always watched it being I wish I was blonde. I wish I was more like Lizzie. Never looking to Miranda, because she was always going through problems and Lizzie was solving them for her. And then there was DW, who was not anything in particular. Like, they never point to it. They never say what she is. It was just her personality that I like drifted towards. So I loved how good Lizzie McGuire was. I loved how like her heart was always in the right place. And then I loved on the other side, like DW could say whatever the friggin' heck she wanted and she could, you know, yeah, it's nothing new. She was a great role model for girls. I'm just realizing for the first time that perhaps she was the first representation where like I wasn't wishing I looked like her the way that I would with Lizzie McGuire.
So I brought up a theory I've been working on for why all sorts of people watch and love Arthur. It's because the characters are animals. Since they aren't people with specific human traits, anyone can see themselves in any of the characters.
You see it all the time in children's TV, especially the more and more I like dig into it, you realize so many shows do go the animal route. You're like, oh, it's because animals don't have that complication. And like, you can put whatever you want onto them, like later deciding Francine is Jewish. Like, I'm sure that meant a lot to a lot of kids. I mean, like, you can put that onto any kid in that world because they don't have anything that would stop that.
I told her that reading all the comments from people who were outraged that DW had been played by guys made me feel like maybe I don't belong, or that I shouldn't have been in that position.
My thing comes from the fact that I grew up never, and I do mean never, seeing myself as the main character of anything until Dora the Explorer came along, and that was a whole other, you know, bag of worms or whatever that saying is. Can of worms, there you go. To being the only representation. That feeling is more like, is less like I don't belong here and more like I don't know if I exist. Like, I don't know if this experience I'm having is valid. I don't know, like, I can't look anywhere and think like, oh, there I am. That happens. Like, this thing that she is going through also happens to me. So instead I had to like look and project. So I would look again to Lizzie McGuire and be like, oh, I always try and do the right thing. So that is me. Maybe actually a better example would be saying like, if you went your whole life without looking in a mirror and all you were doing was looking at the world in front of you without like ever seeing your own reflection, like not even knowing what you look like to other people basically. And then all of a sudden you stand in front of a mirror and it would be so jarring just being like, whoa, that's what I look like. Oh my gosh. Suddenly I see like myself standing there and that's how other people see me. Like, whoa, okay. Now I see myself. Like, it's also this like internal thing where like suddenly you see what you look like for the first time. And then you can't kind of feel validation because suddenly you see that you exist. It's like solid proof, you know, like, I don't know if I'm explaining this very well because it's also pretty new to me.
Right. I think I understand how feeling that way would make her feel drawn to DW. I know I'm just scratching the surface here. I feel a responsibility to do my part and acknowledge that some people who are upset that DW was played by male voice actors could be feeling similarly to what Alex is describing. I want to do something about it. I almost feel like I have a responsibility to at least kind of explore the subject.
I don't know. I understand. I'm sorry. I just realized after my rant that I was like, okay, maybe it's not silly to be upset about it. Sure. It would have been great if more little girls got a chance to like be heard in the world because God knows they have, you know, less of that than the little boys that were getting the chances. And I think the fact that you're talking about it is something, you know, it's not like, it's not nothing. It's you're talking about it and that's great. I think the world is changing. I think like that wouldn't fly today. Maybe I think it's still happening. So maybe people should, you know, use that energy for that. But I don't know. If anything, this is like an opportunity to look back at history and be like, well, that was bad. Let's fix the future kind of thing. But that's what I mean by like, the whole system is the problem. It's not this one casting decision. It's a part of the whole thing. And to point a finger at it is always a good thing.
And not to totally ruin her argument, but I brought up that there were lots of talented women who worked on Arthur. I've even spoken to some of them for this podcast.
That is another perspective then, isn't it? Where you're just kind of like, give the women some credit in their choices and how they cast it and stuff. I'm sure they did audition girls. They like tried to get girls in the role. Like it was an endeavor that they took, but like they did go for a girl. And then it was like, okay, this isn't working. What if we tried finding some boys? And then it went from there.
But
I think to say like, that sucks. That's valid to feel like, you know, a little bit, if you saw that and felt a little bit betrayed by the fact that she's voiced by boys, fine, fair.
Like she'd been saying throughout our conversation, Alex just didn't think that writing a comment expressing outrage that DW had been played by guys was the most productive use of those people's energies.
To like put a bad taste in your mouth, clearly, because you're now like, oh no, now I have to do something about this. Like maybe a bit more thought, maybe a bit more like look into the creators and the world before you just criticize like the fact that you felt bad when you found out that it's voiced by boys.
Except, I sincerely think that if it did bother even a few people who listened to this podcast or even just heard about it, this is a conversation worth having. And I don't think that if they were casting today, they would do that so without giving it that much thought.
Maybe. I mean, we're seeing a lot of recasts for roles when it comes to people of color. So not that they're the same, but maybe it wouldn't be done today. Maybe it would be done today. Like I don't know. It is really complicated and you kind of have to live in the gray area of it because, you know, here I am going back and forth being like, yeah, it shouldn't, they should just give little girls the representation they deserve. But at the same time, like learn from it. Don't like tear people down for what it was. You can still love DW, you know, you can still cherish what she meant to you in your youth. But like, I don't know, to feel disappointed is like, of course, valid. I just think there's many aspects to it that like are also worth looking at. For example, the creators and the people who were behind all of it, not just the little boys that did it.
I told Alex how I've been exploring how being bullied or made fun of for playing a girl on TV might have affected me more than I realized into my adult life, and asked if she had any suggestions for how I might explore that idea and the stuff we'd been talking about surrounding representation further.
I would, if you want to go on this route, recommend talking to somebody who can maybe explain representation a little bit better to you, because again, it is new to me, and like maybe somebody who is like openly an educator about representation could be worthwhile. Perhaps another route that you're talking about is like the views of masculinity, in that like to be represented in this world as a little girl and be teased for that is like, well, then am I, you know, the idealized version of masculinity that I want to be for myself, kind of thing. If that's what I'm hearing properly, I don't know, but those do seem like two different avenues under the same umbrella.
And I do want this to be a part of it. This part that feels messy, because I don't totally know how being made fun of for playing the voice of a girl fits together with my identity as a male person, even today. I don't have a conclusion yet, and I'm not even sure if it matters if I do or not. Maybe it's enough to just acknowledge that this is part of the story. Maybe this messiness is why I've never been proud that I was DW, why I wasn't excited to meet Alex at that Halloween party where she was dressed up as DW.
It does sound like a part of the journey, and I'm sure it's also maybe a reason why you like shied away from it, is because you had been stung by it before. Like it wasn't in your favor. Whereas when you're an adult, people are like, that's so cool that you did that, you know? But this is just me saying to you as my friend, if people are giving this criticism, acknowledging it a little bit is fine. I don't think you have to, you don't owe anything to anybody.
I told her how I think it's a valuable learning experience for me to at least talk about what it means that DW was played by guys. That even if I don't reach a conclusion, I'll feel better about having acknowledged those comments I saw.
Of course, I understand that reaction totally makes sense to me, like, especially knowing you, that, like, that you would jump to, like, oh, gotta do something about this, gotta make other people feel good, kind of thing. That makes sense. Pick and choose what parts you, like, really matter to your story, but, like, otherwise, I just want you to know, like, you're still a good person, even if you voiced a little girl and feel weird about it.
Returning to Marissa, I asked her if she thinks there's a point in acknowledging the potential sexism of DW only being played by male voice actors. Should I even be talking about it? Or should I just listen?
That's interesting, because I think when you say just listening, I imagine you meaning kind of sitting on the sidelines and allowing the dialogue to take place. But this podcast is very much a way to actively listen and sort of parse through these really complicated feelings, because it's not like you endeavored to oppress, to become part of this oppressive patriarchal community when you took on that role. And so, unpopular opinion, but a lot of things become unnecessarily politicized when really they're just business decisions. And I wasn't there for the casting, but I'm sure if there was a female identifying person who did well, she would have gotten the part too. Maybe it was coincidence. I don't know. I'm just playing devil's advocate. But I see now why, you know, as gender becomes something that's both, that's bringing us together and also becoming more polarizing than ever, I see now why you're maybe retroactively trying to come to terms with some of those things, and also sort of maybe clean up the mess that it may have made in some circles. You also don't need to move on from it. It could be something that's part of your story and your ongoing story, and something that you reckon with every day, maybe to less of a, like, seems like paralyzing and debilitating degree. Like, you know, like, I hope you're not waking up every morning and, like, doing the Shema Yisrael and then repenting for the time you were DW. Like, great.
I told Marissa that when I heard about her book, I felt like my podcast is trying to do for me something similar to what writing her book did for her. And I'm curious if you have any advice for how I can do this in a way where I'll feel like I've completed it.
Yeah, wow, that's so interesting, because my book is called Pretty Weird, Overcoming Imposter Syndrome and Other Oddly Empowering Lessons. And something that I kind of want people to know is that overcoming imposter syndrome also means not striving too hard to overcome it, and just living with it and sitting with it, because so often we try to numb feelings with drugs and alcohol and you know, just distracting ourselves with the rigors of daily life. But there's so much healing that comes in just sitting with it and allowing it to embed itself in our psyche and just, like, transform itself into something that becomes a part of our story, just like going to the grocery store last week was part of your story. It doesn't have to become this huge thing. For example, I've been sexually assaulted. I think more critically about why I gained 5 pounds than why I was sexually assaulted. You know why? Because I spent so much time sitting with it and thinking about it and talking myself out of reasons why it could have been my fault or why I was asking for it, that it just became something that I'm now able to navigate internally. And when I, you know, when I am faced with a trigger in the universe or out in the world, it doesn't really become a trigger anymore so much as it is just a reminder of something that shaped me and built my character to some extent. And so I liken that to the way you portrayed DW. This is something that was a part of you and will continue to be a part of you. And I don't think you should apologize for that. I think starting this podcast as a way to, like, make sense of these feelings is a great step in the right direction. And I think it'll provide a lot of healing for you and other folks on a similar journey. And yeah, I just want you to know that a lot of the feelings of malaise that you're experiencing right now are self-inflicted. No one cares as much about you as you care about yourself. I hate to say it to you, buddy. you are very loved, but no one cares about you as much as you care about yourself. Same with me. Yeah, I freak out about my weight gain, but no one knows. And if they do know, fuck them.
After speaking with Marissa, I realized that so much of the guilt or strangeness I feel surrounding having played DW is self-inflicted. I need to focus on the fact that people think it's cool that I played DW, and if they don't, well, who cares? They're not my problem. I still think it's so incredible that someone as awesome as Marissa has had a positive association with DW, a character I played. Plus, Marissa taught me that a lot of the messy feelings surrounding having played DW, they really do seem to align closely with her exploration of imposter syndrome in her book. I'll have to explore that further, and maybe I'll be able to unpack this story even more. So, thank you for talking to me, Marissa. I promise I'll finish your book soon. Talking to my friend Alex was invaluable. I got to see through the eyes of a friend how much DW means to all sorts of girls and women out there. It's really special that characters on Arthur are animals, because talented fans of television, like Alex, could see themselves in the characters in Arthur's world, instead of feeling left out. Plus, I learned that just because some people are upset that DW was played by male voice actors, it doesn't mean that I have to derail my entire podcast just to try and please those people. I still am glad I spent the time exploring this part of the story, though, because, as Marissa said, there's something about the gender fluidity and inclusiveness of DW being a powerful female role model that's also played by guys. I want to keep learning about that, so thank you for helping me get a better perspective on what I'm up to here, Alex. And I say, that's the end of this episode. I've made some pretty important discoveries on how DW changed me while working on this episode. Also, you should know that I've found at least one of the other guys who played the voice of DW, and I can't wait to share that and more with you. You don't want to miss what's coming up next. But that'll have to wait until next week. And until then, thanks for listening. This podcast was made possible in part from contributions through Patreon from listeners like you. Thank you, Blendy, Quinton Reviews, Sam Brodaddy, and Alex. Next time on Finding DW.
Hi, my name is Ethan Bugiotto, and I was the 8th and potentially last person to play DW on Arthur. I got the part for season 22 of the show in 2019.
Did it feel funny stepping into something where you'd be playing a girl?
Yeah. I mean, obviously it was a little bit mind-blowing.